Welcome to this week's episode of Business Wise. This is a podcast series for entrepreneurs interested in expanding through learning and applying the management system discovered and developed by humanitarian, philosopher, and administrator, Mr. L. Ron Hubbard. Recently, I was restudying some material that I felt I was pretty familiar with and got smacked in the skull with a startling datum from Mr. Hubbard that utterly shifted my perspective on existence. Now, if you're a student of L. Ron Hubbard and his research and his work, you know that he's going to do this to you time to time. You might be reading something you've read a dozen times before, and magically, Mr. Hubbard seems to have added a paragraph just for you, and your life has changed dramatically for the better. Well, I got one of those recently, and I was inspired to share it with you. Which do you think, of all the technical skills L. Ron Hubbard has taught us, all the lessons from him that we've covered in Business Wise and the many, many, many other skills we have not covered, which of all these skills do you think Mr. Hubbard has ranked the highest? I'll tell you, I won't keep you in suspense, because we're going to devote this episode and the next episode to this very subject, and that is the ability to differentiate between the social and the antisocial personality. Now, we haven't even gone into what a social versus an antisocial personality is yet, so you, the listener, may be wondering what the heck we're talking about, but I suspect that in your guts, you do know what I'm talking about. And when we are done with these next two episodes, you will for sure know what we are talking about. But a failure to identify an antisocial personality can and will destroy your life, potentially your family, group, country, and even a whole civilization. What's more, mistaking social personalities for antisocial, which, as you will discover, is a favorite stunt of the antisocial, takes out good men and women who can salvage a company, a community, or a civilization. So I'm going to quote Mr. Hubbard here. Of all our technical skills, such differentiation ranks the highest since, failing, no other skill can continue. As the base on which it operates, civilization will not be here to continue it. End of quote. That's pretty earth-shaking datum, if you ask me. Of all our technical skills, such differentiation, he's referring to the differentiation between the social and the antisocial personality. Of all our technical skills, such differentiation ranks the highest, since failing, no other skill can continue. As a base on which it operates, civilization will not be here to continue it. You know, I think those of us who study Mr. Hubbard's works, materials, we quite possibly take for granted that we're always going to have a civilization around us with which we can learn and apply this knowledge. But think about it. What is a guarantee of our civilization continuing in its existence as we know it? We're already witnessing a tremendous deterioration in our civilization. And as you will discover, at the root of that deterioration is the antisocial undetected, and the social being relegated to the scrap heap or being vilified. And this is what is causing the civilization to deteriorate, and how badly can it deteriorate before we can no longer practice, we will no longer have the freedoms with which to practice the application of our knowledge, the technologies that we've learned from Mr. Hubbard, and other worthwhile things that we have learned in our lifetime. The things that we assimilate and accumulate that enable us to put a civilization there, the things that are beneficial to mankind, the things that are good, that are helpful, and in a completely suppressive and oppressed environment, who's to say that we can even perform those skills or technologies or apply those truths and knowledge? So this technical skill we're covering today, and we'll cover it in the next episode, if we don't understand it, if we don't apply it, then there goes our guarantee of a civilization in which we can apply all the rest of the knowledge that we seek, all the rest of the truth that we seek. So anyway, quite a life-changing revelation for me, and I definitely want to share it with you. So let's go into the article itself. Now, the article does describe both the social and the antisocial personality. Mr. Haber goes into the antisocial first, and this is the one we're going to cover. So he starts it this way. He says, there are certain characteristics and mental attitudes which cause about 20% of a race to oppose violently any betterment activity or group. So this is one of the first things to understand is it's actually around 2 out of 10. So while it's not the majority, there are enough antisocial personalities around that you're probably in contact with more than a couple of them. And you may even have suspected, you know, what motivates that guy or that girl, or why does it seem so strange that things around them go wrong, or just can't deal with having that person in my space? Well, it's about 20%. He goes on to say, such people are known to have antisocial tendencies. Listen to this. He says, when the legal or political structure of a country becomes such as to favor such personalities and positions of trust, then all the civilizing organizations of the country become suppressed and a barbarism of criminality and economic duress ensues. Does this sound familiar to anybody? He goes on to say, crime and criminal acts are perpetrated by antisocial personalities. Hey, it's not true that all men are evil or all men are bad. Crime and criminal acts are perpetrated by antisocial personalities. That's a datum. And he goes on to say this, inmates of institutions commonly trace their state back to contact with such personalities. You think those personalities are in an insane asylum? No. The guys who are in the insane asylum are the victims of the antisocial, generally speaking. So he goes on to say, thus, in the fields of government, police activities, and mental health, to name a few, we see that it is important to be able to detect and isolate this personality type so as to protect society and individuals from the destructive consequences attendant upon letting such have free rein to injure others. Yeah, I can't really say it's not my observation right now that in society today, there's a whole lot going on to restrict destructive tendencies, huh? Don't necessarily see that. They seem to be quite well protected, in fact. They can turn around and sue the good guy and walk away with millions and millions, the antisocial can, in this current society. So there you go. Not really set up to protect the social. Let's just put it that way. Okay. As they only comprise, these are Mr. Hubbard's words, as they only comprise 20% of the population, and as only 2.5% of this 20% are truly dangerous. So he's narrowed it down even more to only 2.5%. That's a lot more confrontable. It still means out of 100 people that you're in contact with, an average of 2.5 of them are really dangerous. So he says, as it comprise 20% of the population, and as only 2.5% of this 20% are truly dangerous, we see that with a very small amount of effort, we could considerably better the state of society. And then he goes on, he gives us some examples. And, you know, I'm sure you can think of many of your own. You probably have already thought of some, but he says, well-known, even stellar examples of such a personality are, of course, Napoleon and Hitler, Dillinger, Pretty Boy Floyd, Christie, these are all famous criminals in American history. And other famous criminals were well-known examples of the antisocial personality. But with such a cast of characters in history, we neglect the less stellar examples and do not perceive that such personalities exist in current life. Very common, often undetected. So, you're having trouble with your business? You're having trouble with your family? Don't rule out this factor. It's more common than you think. He goes on to say, when we trace the cause of a failing business, we will inevitably discover somewhere in its ranks the antisocial personality hard at work. They work hard at this, by the way. You're going like, well, he's antisocial, you know, doesn't get along well with people. No, a real antisocial, they're working hard to do what? To do in the company, to do in their quote-unquote friends, to do you in, and the other people they have contact with. Anybody who's trying to do something to better things. That's how he started this out, right? Oppose violently any betterment activity or group. You've got a betterment activity going on, you feel balked or thwarted in some way, look for the antisocial. They are violently opposed. It's not like it comes out of laziness. They're very active. He goes on to say this, in families which are breaking up, we commonly find one or the other of the persons involved to have such a personality. Where life has become rough and is failing. So if this applies to you, take heed. Where life has become rough and is failing, a careful review of the area by a trained observer will detect one or more such personalities at work. As there are 80% of us trying to get along and only 20% trying to prevent us, our lives would be much easier to live were we well informed as to the exact manifestations of such a personality. Thus, we could detect it and save ourselves much failure and heartbreak. Then he says, it is important then to examine and list the attributes of the antisocial personality, influencing as it does the daily lives of so many, it well behooves decent people to become better informed on this subject. And this is why we're informing you. Okay? So then he lists out the attributes. The antisocial personality has the following attributes. One, he or she speaks only in very broad generalities. They say, everybody thinks, everyone knows, and such expressions are in continual use, particularly when imparting rumor. So here is the first manifestation, generalities. Well, no one is interested in our cars, sir. All the patients are upset. We don't know why. The staff are blank, this and that. Who are the staff? Who are the customers? Who are the public? There's no specifics. It's a generality. And if you think back on when you've listened to or heard people speak to you in generality, you probably felt a bit upset. It's upsetting. And it's actually, that's the intent. He says, this is natural to them since to them all society is a large, hostile generality against the antisocial in particular. Okay, number two. Such a person deals mainly in bad news, critical or hostile remarks, invalidation, and general suppression. Now, it's interesting. You can watch this sometimes in political campaigns where, you know, you've got some candidates who are promoting positive things and let's get on with it and let's do this and let's do that, and others who are promoting continually just hostile remarks, critical remarks, how bad everybody is, how bad this guy is, how bad that group is, and of course, speaking in generalities. He says it is notable that there is no good news or complimentary remark passed on by such a person. Don't look to an antisocial to give you any good news. Three, the antisocial personality alters to worsen communication when he or she relays a message or news. Good news is stopped, and only bad news, often embellished, is passed along. And then he also says, such a person also pretends to pass on, quote, bad news, end quote, which is an actual fact invented. I was around this not too long ago. I just could not seem to get anything but bad news from this particular individual. And at some point or another, I was actually pretty wound up. I started investigating some of these bad news reports and found out they weren't even true. Not even close. This is the way the antisocial is operating. They alter to worsen communication. Four, a characteristic and one of the sad things about an antisocial personality is that it does not respond to treatment or reform or psychotherapy. Yeah, that's the sad part. They don't reform. I mean, you know, how many times have you heard about the criminal? We talk about recidivism, the relapse into criminal behavior. I'm sure you've observed this. If you read up on violent crime, sadistic crime, In each case, the perpetrator has a continual record of such criminal acts, often getting worse and worse and worse, despite jail time, prison time, being in the hands of so-called, you know, psychotherapists and what have you. They are not reforming. They do not respond to these efforts to reform or treat them. That's one of their characteristics. Characteristic number five, surrounding such a personality, we find cowed or ill associates or friends who were not actually driven insane are yet behaving in a crippled manner in life, failing, not succeeding. Such people make trouble for others. Yeah, you know, you ever been connected to a family where just one after another, the family members have health issues, end up in jail, end up in trouble themselves, drug addiction, even suicide? When you really understand this and you start looking for the antisocial, you will find them in the middle of all this, unscathed apparently, but around them, cowed, ill, failing in life. And of course, you can run into this in a business where you've got a company where it's just struggling and nothing seems to be working for them, and employees are low morale or ill or unable to catch on to things. Yeah, they're not winning. All right, so let's move on to number six. The antisocial personality selects habitually the wrong target. Mr. Harper gives an example here. He says, if a tire is flat from driving over nails, he or she curses a companion or a non-causative source of the trouble. If the radio next door is too loud, he or she kicks the cat. If A is the obvious cause, the antisocial personality inevitably blames B or C or D. This is, in some ways, the saving grace, because when these guys get into, or these girls get into power, they will attack betterment groups. Remember, they violently opposed betterment groups, but thankfully they're idiotic and they generally choose the wrong target to attack. And so that is something that can work to our advantage along with this next one when combating such a personality, but they habitually select the wrong target. And you watch an antisocial, you're starting to probably think of some right now. Look at how they treat their kids, the animals in their environment, pets, other people. You know, they're angry at what? Who knows? But the target is you or the other person or some innocent person. That is a characteristic of the antisocial personality. Number seven, the antisocial cannot finish a cycle of action. Such becomes surrounded with incomplete projects. All right, now, I don't think there's any of us who don't have a few incomplete projects around, so don't necessarily mark this one up as, oh, wow, I must be an antisocial. We're going to go into that in a little more detail later when we start going into the social characteristics. But yeah, by and large, they don't complete cycles of action. And this can be very upsetting when you're trying to get something done and you just notice again and again, what, this isn't done? This isn't done either? Like, what happened to this project? Oh, it was never completed. And you'll see that they are surrounded by incomplete projects or cycles of action. All right. Number eight, many antisocial persons will freely confess to the most alarming crimes when forced to do so, but will have no faintest sense of responsibility for them. Interesting. Their actions have little or nothing to do with their own volition. Things, quote, just happened. They have no sense of correct causation and particularly cannot feel any sense of remorse or shame therefore. And I don't know. I don't watch a lot of video or television, but I've seen enough live confessions and on film and live of some of the most heinous acts. And it's sort of brushed off by the guy. Yeah, no, that's right. I did it. And what's the big deal? Like, no emotion, no remorse. Like, of course I did it. So what? You know, this kind of cold, we call it cold-blooded. You'll even get this. It was just my hand that did it. You know, I think this came up recently in the media. Guy shot a bunch of innocent people, and the way he described it, the gun did it. All right, nine. The antisocial personality supports only destructive groups and rages against and attacks any constructive or betterment group. So this is something you can count on. You've got an antisocial group. You've got a destructive group. The antisocial personalities are all in. They tend to congregate in these kind of groups. It becomes a den of thieves. You know, you have these antisocials sort of gravitating towards each other to form these extremely destructive groups and to fight and attack constructive or betterment groups. Here's number 10. By the way, I'm not giving any live examples, okay? I am not here to push any particular agenda. We're here just to give you information and to give you data. You need to make your own conclusions. You need to look at the groups that are operating today and which ones are constructive and which ones are destructive and make your own decisions based on understanding these attributes. Now, look, two things. One, we are giving you an introduction here with BusinessWise. We're not expecting you to become an expert in isolating the antisocial personality. We're more or less working to give you an awareness that these individuals exist, that these 12 attributes that we're covering with you, for sure, we're touching on every single one of them. We're giving you examples, but don't consider yourself an expert because you listened to this episode, okay? This takes study. It's an important technical skill, as Mr. Hubbard covered earlier. So you now know you're learning enough to become dangerous, but don't consider yourself an authority just because you've listened to our episode here a few times. Yes, I think you're going to become better off because of listening to this, but I hope as a consequence you resolve yourself studying this subject more thoroughly. And of course, Mr. Hubbard did a tremendous amount of research on the subject, wrote and lectured and gave quite a bit more information. But here we are. These are the 12 attributes, and we just covered number 9. Here's number 10. This type of personality approves only of destructive actions and fights against constructive or helpful actions or activities. If you're in a group and you're trying to come up with great ideas and constructive ideas and you're wondering why you're being fought against, first of all, don't think that everyone that's fighting that idea is an antisocial, but at the bottom of it's an antisocial, guaranteed. That's fomenting the criticism or objections to your constructive actions. He also says here, listen to this part of 10 here. The artist in particular is often found as a magnet for persons with antisocial personalities who see in his art something which must be destroyed and covertly, quote, as a friend, end quote, proceed to try. When I'm helping artists, because I have many members, wise members who are artists, this is one of the first things I look for. Who's in their environment? Because they attract, like honey, the ants. Okay, and if you're an artist, you better study these attributes very, very well as the social ones we're going to cover next week. All right, and then number 11, helping others is an activity which drives the antisocial personality nearly berserk. Activities, however, which destroy in the name of help are closely supported. Man, I take this one very advisedly. I pay a lot of attention to this one. When I hear or see groups that are promoting how much they help people, the first thing I'm going to do is check it out to see what are their actual results, what are their products, what are the consequences of their actions, because this is a favorite activity of the antisocial, to destroy in the name of help. And they closely support groups like that. All right. Well, the antisocial personality, this is the last attribute, by the way, the antisocial personality has a bad sense of property and conceives that the idea that anyone owns anything is a pretense, made up to fool people. Nothing is ever really owned. Yep. Well, this bicycle sitting here, I'll take it. This umbrella, may as well take it. Just sitting there. This car, wow, there's keys in the ignition. Let's just take it. Doesn't belong to anybody. And this is one of the 12 characteristics or attributes of the antisocial. So then Mr. Arbor goes into the basic reason antisocial is behaving as he or she does. He says the basic reason the antisocial personality behaves as he or she does lies in a hidden terror of others. To such a person, every other being is an enemy to be covertly or overtly destroyed. Don't forget, they seldom wear a badge saying I'm an antisocial, so they'll use covert means to effect their destruction. And then Mr. Trevor goes on to say this, the fixation is that survival itself depends on, quote, keeping others down, end quote, or keeping people ignorant, end quote. By the way, I just occurs to me, the attack on religion in this country is just unbelievable. Never, you know, Mr. Trevor talks about it early on in the early 70s, late 60s. He refers to this attack on religion. How it's being manifested today is just shocking. And is at the bottom of it, you got the antisocial. It says here, the fixation is that survival itself depends on, quote, keeping others down, end quote, or keeping people ignorant, end quote. If anyone were to promise, these are Ms. Harper's words, if anyone were to promise to make others stronger or brighter, the antisocial personality suffers the utmost agony of personal danger. Think about it. Think about their existence. If they weren't so destructive, it would almost be a source of pity. You know, they're living in this terror of thee and me hidden. And so they act to undermine us and to destroy us and the things we stand for and anything good in the world, because if others did better, that would endanger them. So then he says, they reason that if they are in this much trouble with people around them, weak or stupid, they would perish should anyone become strong or bright. Such a person has no trust to a point of terror. This is usually masked and unrevealed. When such a personality goes insane, the world is full of Martians or the FBI, and each person met is really a Martian or FBI agent. This is how loony they are. This is Mr. Hubbard's words. He's describing the Martian FBI. They are insane. But the bulk of such people, these are Mr. Hubbard's words, but the bulk of such people exhibit no outward signs of insanity. They appear quite rational. They can be very convincing. And then he gives you this very, very important paragraph. I want you to pay attention because I have a feeling some of you, it's crossing your mind. Oh my God, I'm antisocial. Listen to what he says here. However, the list given above consists of things which such a personality cannot detect in himself or herself. This is so true that if you thought you found yourself in one of the above, you most certainly are not antisocial. Self-criticism is a luxury the antisocial cannot afford. They must be right because they're in continual danger in their own estimation. If you proved one wrong, you might even send him or her into a severe illness. Only the sane, well-balanced person tries to correct his conduct. L. Ron Hubbard. We're going to leave this article now with that. But I think this last couple of paragraphs, very, very salient. This complete lack of introspection, this complete lack of an ability to look inward at their own insanity, at their own crimes and destructive actions. So much so that if you look at things and go, oh my goodness, I've really been suppressive, or I was really dramatizing an antisocial personality just then. Oh my goodness, you're clearly not an antisocial, because the antisocial cannot even do that. It cannot look inward. I remember dealing with some antisocials in my life, where I had to essentially take them out of a group. And one of the things that was really interesting, no introspection, no remorse, always right, incredibly, very bright people in some cases, had everything figured out, how they were actually right in all their destructive actions, how everybody else was wrong. And again, a complete inability to look inward and take responsibility for anything. So yes, I've dealt with some, you've dealt with some successfully, not so successfully, but I promise you, you've had these in your life, and it pays to understand and learn these attributes very well and use this knowledge to isolate the antisocial. You do need to know the social characteristics. I've never insisted on you listening to another episode You're free to listen to any episode you want business-wise, but in this case, you need to listen to the next one too on the social personality, because if you don't understand the social characteristics versus the antisocial, you really are not in an adequate position to make an adjudication. And so we're going to wrap this up by just reviewing one last time this paragraph from Mr. Hubbard so you get the importance of this and you come back and listen next week. Here we go. He says, towards the end of this incredible article, he says, of all our technical skills, such differentiation ranks the highest, since failing, no other skill can continue as the base on which it operates. Civilization will not be here to continue it. L. Ron Hubbard. We need to know this. You need to know this. I need to know this. Many, many others that need to learn this so that we can sort out who are the social, who aren't the antisocial. These attributes will point them out to you. So learn them well and study them beyond this episode. Listen to this, listen to the next one, and then make it your business to learn this very, very well, okay? All right, that's it for this week. Bit longer than most, but an important subject, so I wanted to cover it thoroughly. Thank you very much for listening. And again, we'll talk next week on the characteristics or attributes of the social personality.